Friday, February 2nd, 2018. And good morning, everyone. JW and Christy, this is the Morning Mix, presenting live local music and events in the Wasatch back. We had a little hiccup there with the theme song.
It stalled my dance routine. I usually dance to the opening
music.
But
it's
we've
the
been
best.
Ahead.
Well, I'm not sure what happened there, but we'll get right on that. We'll run some diagnostics or something.
Run it through the system.
Yes.
Get IT in here.
Oh, my goodness. We got a big IT staff here at KPCW. We'll just put about 20 people on that little challenge.
In the meantime, let me tell you who's going to be on our show today.
Okay.
Our musical guest is Mel Soul. She's going to join us live in the studio and play three times throughout the show. We'll do weather and weekend events, of course, as we always do, let you know what you're going to get ready for this weekend. 9:20, we'll be joined by Jeff and Lisa Ward. They are the owners of Silver Star Cafe, and they have such a great live music scene over at their restaurant, so we're going to talk to them about that. And then at about 9:40, we'll be joined by Tiger Shaw, the president and CEO of the U.S. Ski and Snowboard Association, as we get ready for the Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang.
Oh, it's going to be exciting.
Absolutely. Hey, did you know today is Groundhog Day?
Yes.
And the little critter saw his shadow, which means, hooray, 6 more weeks of winter.
Okay.
I don't think he necessarily, I think he's regional though, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's not winter everywhere. Or,
well, that lines up with what Trump said yesterday. Trump said that he believes in climate change.
Did he say that?
It's getting colder.
Oh.
No, well, he said it's getting colder and sometimes it's getting hotter. And that's
did
what
he say
thinks.
It was the coldest of any president, or did he claim some superlative in that?
Colder than George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. Yeah, he's got some great claims out there. We should get him on the Morning Mix. I'm sure he'll come.
That would be fun.
Yeah. So really. Those guests and more when we return. We're going to go to a couple of underwriters, and we'll be back after these messages. The Morning Mix on KPCW in Park City.
Hi, I'm Tom Pettigrew from Park City Mountain and a proud supporter of KPCW. Park City Mountain instructors share their love of skiing and snowboarding with guests, helping them improve their skills and enjoy the mountain. More information on Ski and Snowboard School and other programs at parkcitymountain.com. Hi, I'm Tom Pettigrew from Park City Mountain and a proud supporter of
Support for KPCW comes from the Crandall family, owners of the New Park Amphitheater, site of the New Park Concert Series, and numerous other community events.
Support for KPCW comes from the Wasatch Brew Pub, offering weekend brunch at the top of Main Street, featuring traditional favorites as well as midday Marys and mimosas. Private event space available. Wasatch Brew Pub. We drink our share and sell the rest. WasatchBeers.com.
We're back at the Morning Mix. Thanks for joining us. We're joined in the studio now by our musical guest for the hour, Mel Soul. She is a regular at the Cabin's weekly Monday night jam night, open mic night. And boy, she's from Orem, but she played 5 gigs last week during Sundance. And that to me is a coup.
Yeah.
It's quite a presence on that main street where everyone's trying to get their presence. So welcome, Mel Soul.
Thank you.
I've been hearing a lot about you from various people for your performances at Open Mic Night. And it's quite a drive for you to come over from Orem, so we appreciate that. But what's your motivation?
My music. That's the only motivation that I need. It's just playing my music.
Are there places to play in Orem as well? Do they have open mic?
In Provo, there's Valor. I go there every now and then for
open
mic.
I've been hearing about Valor, too. Mm-hmm. We need to get some of those people on and talk to them about that venue.
So it's the passion that drives everything.
Yep.
And how long you been playing?
I've been writing music since 2012, and that's when I started.
Okay.
So since 22.
Oh, great.
Let's hear a song, and then we'll discuss it further.
Sounds good. Cool. Live on the Morning Mix, Mel Soul.
So I wrote this song for the Las Vegas shooting. It's called Isn't It a Shame.
You were innocent and you were living. We were worked on that last paycheck for Vegas with your friends. You didn't know, you couldn't hear the bullets fire all over the place till it was too late. Now your killer has a face and name and personality, but all I want to focus on is the tragedy. God wish you well. May whatever light save you and hold you in its arms. God wish you well. I'm sorry that we failed you. Isn't it a shame that the blood you've shed change our ways? Isn't it a shame? You were a child, you were just a little girl. You started school that year to learn your ABCs. All you saw was an angry man shooting fire from his hands while everybody screamed. And now your killer has a face and name and personality, but all I want to focus on is the tragedy. God wish you arms. God wish you well. I'm sorry that we failed you. Isn't it a shame that the blood you've shed may never change our ways? Isn't it a shame? Happy, you enjoyed married life, and you fought every battle just to marry Mr. Right. And you were dancing when shots were fired, and you held on to your partner's hand, both your lives expired. Now your killer has a face and name, personality, but all I want to focus on is the tragedy. God wish you well. May whatever light save you and hold you in its arms. God wish you well. I'm sorry that we failed you. Now isn't that shame? God wish you all well. May whatever light save you and hold you in its arms. God wish you well. I'm sorry that we failed you. Isn't it a shame that the blood you've shed may never change our ways? Isn't it a shame? A shame. Isn't it a shame? A shame. Isn't it a shame?
Very nice. Very nice. Tell us about your musical influences.
So my favorites are ZZ Ward, Ed Sheeran, and Alison Krauss. They all have elements of music that I want in my music, so I just try to have my sound similar to a mix of all three of them.
Okay.
And you got into songwriting how?
I've been a singer since high school, and I wrote my first song in 2012. It took me about a year to finish. And then when I did open mic, everybody was really encouraging. And after I wrote my first song, it was really easy to write a bunch of other ones. They just sort of popped out in my head. And I would listen to them. Like, I would hear songs in my head. I still do. I hear songs in my head. And it's just, ever since then, it's been my passion.
That's interesting. So. We've talked to a lot of musicians and songwriters who say it just happens to them.
Yes, exactly.
And that must be really hard if you're someone who's trying to write a song and sitting there with your piece of paper and your pen and trying to work on it. And then to hear someone else go, I don't know, it just happens. I hear it. I'd be really frustrated by that.
It's kind of like... It's kind of like a spiritual experience where it just comes to you whenever it's supposed to. You know what I mean? So
I went to the we interviewed Anders Osborne on our last show, and I went to his show. He was solo acoustic, and he talked a lot. And he said that when he gets home from tour, he gets on his bicycle and goes and rides up around Lake Pontchartrain. And he was saying that the cyclical, repetitive movement of a bicycle or any kind of exercise just frees up the creative process, and then it just kind of happens and flows. I mean, this town, we're super into exercise. I mean, maybe not me, but everyone else is. And I was thinking, maybe that's a good idea to look for your creative flow in that.
I believe in that. And I know I was not a cyclist, but I was a runner for many years. And solutions would come to various business problems while I was running. I was just in a different state, and I would start looking at things slightly differently. And I wasn't trying to solve any riddles or any problems. I would just be running, and you get into that flow, and you get that rhythm going, and all of a sudden, these solutions would sort of start to show up. And so if it's the creative process that's involved, it's great.
Yeah. Hey, should we do weather weekend events?
Yeah, we're going to go to two underwriters, and when we return, we'll do weekend events and then weather.
Perfect.
Okay, here we go.
G'day. This is Ashley from Campus Coffee, happy to sponsor programming on KPCW. We can't wait to serve the Park City locals this winter. We're excited by our breakfast and lunch menu to complement our espresso drinks. Campus Coffee is open daily at the base of Park City Mountain Resort, up the stairs from the ice rink next to the Adirondack chairs. CampusCoffee.com.
Wake up to the Marketplace Morning Report every weekday at 6:50 and 7:50 during the morning news with Leslie Thatcher. Brought to you in part by Big D Construction, DeJoria Center at High Star Ranch, and Esco Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical. That's Esco, ESCO.
And welcome back to the Morning Mix on KPCW. You know, it's 35 degrees outside the Sweet Alley Studios, and it just looks like another mild day out there. Today, mostly cloudy, high of 47. Tonight, 60% chance of snow, but less than a half inch possible. But you never know. You never know. And then Saturday, 50% chance of snow in the earlier hours, and then mostly sunny in the afternoon. Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, number 52, we'll have a high of 47. And then Monday's our best chance of snow, with a high of 44, 70% chance of snow likely. 1 to 3 inches possible, maybe more in the higher elevations. We'll get our little snow dance going, and we shall see what happens. What do you think, Christy?
I love your optimism.
Yeah, well, you know, you never...
Rain, it might be snow.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it really could be anything.
Yeah.
I don't listen much to the weather because then it happens. I'm hoping for some good skiing this winter, this weekend.
Folks, it's time for weekend events. Park City Museum Education and Collection Center will host a presentation and book signing of their new Sidewinder Drive location about Pop Jenks. It's from 5 to 6:30 p.m. J.E. Jenks, or Pop, was a local photographer and ice cream shop owner in Old Park City.
And little known fact, my second job, my first winter here, was I worked the door at Pop Jenks, which was a bar, which is now Flanagan's. And I had to ask everyone if they had their membership, and they'd say things like, I'm a local. And I'd say, then you should know that you need a membership, or you need to tell me enough that I could just let you in.
Yeah.
It was very frustrating. Do you have a membership? The Drifters are performing at the Egyptian Theater this weekend. They have shows tonight and Saturday at 8, Sunday at 6, and you can get tickets. You can get tickets for Sunday at parkcityshows.com.
Park City Film Series is screening Darkest Hour on Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sunday night at 6 p.m. at the Jim Santee Auditorium.
And live music around town today includes Griffin at Park City Live, King Strang and the Stranglers at Silver Star Cafe, Metal Dogs at the Spur, and Bonanza Town out at the State Road Tavern in Camas.
Well, that buttons it up for Friday. We're going to move on to Saturday, if you're following at home. You can join the Swanner Eco Center on a winter snowshoe tour, the Wetland Ponds on the Preserve. The tour runs from 10:30 in the morning until noon. You got to register. So if you're interested, give them a call and see if there's any spots open.
All right, check this one out. At High Star Ranch in Camas, there's a horse meditation circle at 11 o'clock on Saturday, and you can join. Apparently, you meditate among the herd of horses, and it's supposed to facilitate a deep meditative state.
Is that so?
That's what they say.
Yeah.
It's worth a try.
Yeah. Hey, just a quick mention of horses. We're talking about horses. Yesterday on Cool Science Radio, we had this guy on. We're talking about all these interesting things in science, and I brought it up, and then we talked about it, and that's the extraordinary ferociousness of an electric eel and how electric eels have jumped out of the water, grabbed around a hoof of a horse, and brought complete horses down as a horse is wading through the water.
Huh.
They're like 20 times more powerful than a policeman's taser.
I heard you say that comment.
I think
I was moving around the house, so I didn't hear the whole thing.
Yeah, it's just amazing.
I was trying to picture where a horse is near an eel, but I guess if it's wading through the water.
Yeah, So I just thought that was interesting. And of course, that's not going to happen at High Star Ranch in Camas. At Wasatch Mountain State Park in Midway, Tree Utah Naturalists will lead their annual snowshoe tour to teach about local trees. Oh, I'm having trouble with this.
I wrote
one.
This really
in,
difficult.
In the area history. The suggested donation, $10, and snowshoes can be rented on site or bring your own snowshoes. Registration, again, required.
The award-winning author, internet sage, and TED speaker Anne Lamott returns to the Eccles Center stage tomorrow night for a conversation and book signing. Tickets are at parkcity.institute.
All right. Park City Library and the Park City Film Series will screen Jane Austen's Emma as part of their Books to Movies program. It's a free screening at 4 p.m. on Saturday.
And High West is hosting their first annual Boo Rye Après Ski Party to celebrate the release of their blend of bourbon and rye. You're asked to wear your best 60s and 70s Après Ski gear. This is why it attracted my attention. And that would include something like maybe a Nordic sweater, those furry earmuffs, stirrup pants. Remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Always a good look. I think you just channel your, like that Arnold Schwarzenegger recreated it on Vanity Fair, that like kind of, I don't know. I can't describe it on radio. Anyway, you know what it is. Get tickets in advance for that event, too.
If you are new to the Morning Mix, you must know this one fact, and that is that Christy has a lot of outfits.
I like to dress up.
Yeah. Now how long have you been doing this? Since you were a kid? I mean, you have more outfits.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, in fact, I made us celebrate Halloween. Oh, I think I talked about that one. We did Halloween on Embassy Row in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, that was an old tradition, but
sure.
I didn't know it was old, and we redid it. And I made everyone dress up in Thailand on Halloween. They don't celebrate it, but I made everyone figure it out. This was before Halloween got really popular and went worldwide. I think everyone's doing it now.
With that extraordinary collection of outfits, I was flattered that you borrowed my pimp outfit for one of your occasions.
Pond skimming.
That's right.
Well, that's coming up again.
Yeah. Okay, here's what's cooking for live music on Saturday. And that includes Snyderville Electric Band at the Canyons Village for Après Ski, Lumberjack Fabulous at Peaks Hotel, The Poor at OP Rockwell, Silver Strike at The Spur, and Roma Ransom is at the Silver Star Cafe.
One edit. At OP Rockwell, it's actually Super Bubble. I wrote the wrong thing. So
okay.
Super Bubble tomorrow night.
Okay.
Hey, and something else to mention on Monday, Park City's Olympic Experience and Future is a presentation and panel discussion that's going to be at the Jim Sandy Auditorium at 7 o'clock. It's to recount Park City's 13-year experience in bidding for and hosting the 2002 Winter Olympic Games. And as the Olympics are coming up, it's something fun to review. And I wanted to let everyone know that newly announced area concerts that you might want to get your tickets for, Tedeschi Trucks, are going to be at the Eccles Theater in Salt Lake on June 22nd. Those tickets go on sale today, I believe. Peter Frampton is going to be at the Capitol Theater April 5th, and those tickets are going on sale today. And this is a freebie. You know I love the record company, and they are going to be playing the Spring Groove concert at Park City Mountain Resort on March 31st.
Oh, I love it.
I'm so excited when I read that. So.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, very good. I tell you what I think we should do. We're going to play a quick song, Breakfast in America by Supertramp. And when we return, we've got some exciting guests for you. So stay tuned. We shall return.
Welcome back to The Morning Mix, Christy Dillaway with JW, and we're joined now in studio by Jeff and Lisa Ward, owners of Silver Star Cafe. They've been over there on the golf course at the base of the Silver Star Chair at Park City Mountain. They opened the restaurant in 2010, and they've been putting on music pretty much since the beginning, and I just find it very intriguing what they've got going on over there, so we invited you on the show. Welcome.
Well, good morning. Good morning. Thank you.
So tell us about how music is so involved in the restaurant space. A lot of restaurants have a guitar player in the corner, but you really feature it. Mm-hmm. So tell us about that.
Well, we like it to be a dinner show and really get the opportunity for the artist to be interacting with the guests and be part of the experience. And I think we started offering it because we were both raised in musical families, and that was part of our dating, is going out to shows, going to festivals, and having a small business. That kind of didn't really have.
You couldn't go out. We couldn't go. The music
yeah,
in.
Pretty much. I mean, that's a pretty good succinct summary. I know. Yeah. What would you add, Lisa?
It's part of who we are, and I think everything we do at the cafe really reflects who we are. And so, in Utah, we're so fortunate to have so much talent, and we had great relationships with musicians as we started, and we've been building those relationships over the years. So we love bringing them in as part of our experience and part of our guests' experience, and really part of the family.
And you could speak for the Morning Mix, because that's kind of what we do as well. We want to shine a light on it and try to bring as many of the local artists and you know, in front of people in Park City. Mm-hmm. But we don't have food here, and your food's really good.
We should get food here.
We should. We had a bartender used to come in and mix us cocktails and stuff, but then that FCC thing happened. You need approvals for these things. But as it turns out, you couldn't get approval from the FCC for that one. You've got great food.
Thank you. Yeah. So we offer, you know, regional American cuisine. It's a little more casual for lunch than dinner, just because we, you know, people are, in a normal winter skiing down to us right now. They're riding the chair down. They're in the middle of their active day, and same for summer. They're out hiking and biking, and we're right there. So we try to have a nice mix of food for the lunch menu. Dinner's a little more upscale, and it's been well received, I think.
Parking can sometimes be tight. Can people that don't live there get into the underground parking?
No, you can't go underground. But parking is managed pretty well. The toughest time for parking for us is weekdays, office hours, because that's when most of the employees are on site. Sundance has their offices there. There's a lot of people. In the evenings, everybody goes home, and parking really isn't an issue at all. Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to the music, because I'm so intrigued. So generally in the winter, is it weekends only, weeknights? What are we doing?
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night, and it's year-round.
Okay, so that's the same schedule throughout the year. Yeah. And then your taste or your niche of singer, songwriter, maybe Americana, local, traveling, is that, elaborate on how you're picking and what you're picking.
Yeah, it really started as a singer-songwriter series. At the very beginning, we did something called Plaza Palooza, which was a big community concert we did every Thursday afternoon, and had, you know, larger bands, and people could bring picnics and kids and dogs, and it was wonderful. Everybody loved it. We had a great time, but it got so big that it was really out of control, and we had people complaining that, you know, people were parking in their driveways and, you know, whatever.
It was too good to be true.
It was too good to last. It got a little bit too big. So what we decided to do was to incorporate that into what we do every day. And so Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights were the nights that we chose. And we started with singer-songwriter, just one or two musicians on stage. And over the years, it's grown into a little more of an event. And now we have larger bands. We have, you know, it has to be all acoustic, jazz, blues, bluegrass, a lot of folk. And we've also had some fun with European gypsy folk and world folk and just, European jazz and just really fun musical genres, because it's what we love and we want to keep it fresh. And a lot of times it's music that you just don't hear anywhere else.
That's right. And there's a lot of interesting music that swings through town, that comes through the town. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Are they reaching out to you? Are you getting the applications?
Yeah, I get three or four calls or emails or texts a day from people that want to perform there. But we have so many spots, and we really reserve them for artists. A lot of local artists are really committed to supporting local artists. But we also have touring artists that come through. And as long as it's a fit and it works for our schedule and theirs, then we're happy to have them. And most of all, it needs to be a fit for our space. We're so tiny. It's got to be all acoustic. It's got to be something that's conducive to people still being able to enjoy conversation at their table if they choose. And sometimes people will just hear it in the background, and sometimes it turns into almost like a house concert where everybody is silent and just focusing on the stage because you
turn my chair around.
Just feel so lucky you get to listen to this incredible guitarist, you know.
It's fascinating how that happens, because you can't manage it. It just happens or it doesn't happen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And do you see the same patrons? Like, are they regulars?
Yes, certainly for certain acts, you see regular people coming in. But I think we see a lot of repeat customers, and a lot of people, I think, just have faith in what we're going to be putting on is going to be enjoyable. You know, I mean, they might quantify their genre a little bit, but
that's great when you are in the trust. You know, it's like when the Park City Film Series started, I'm like, I've never heard of this movie, but I'm sure it's really good because they're putting it on there. Mm-hmm. So when you gain the trust, then the people just come back.
Yeah. Right.
Congratulations on that.
So on Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays, what time does the music begin?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It starts at 7:30 and goes until 10 o'clock. So if people are coming for the music, they'll usually come for our second seating so that they can stay and enjoy
Okay.
The whole evening.
Right.
If they come earlier, then those tables will be booked again for the second seating. So we recommend that people... So
then they're just outside the window looking
at
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put a speaker outside so people could linger.
Yeah. And in the wintertime, we have an indoor stage. We actually lose a table on our music nights, so we're able to accommodate fewer people. We have a nice indoor stage. And in the summertime, we have a stage that's outside on the patio, so everybody that's dining outside can enjoy the view and the sun going down and the music playing, and it's a pretty magical experience.
Yeah,
very good, very good. And do you have a signature dish that people come and order?
Boy, I would say the longest tenured items on the dinner menu are pork ossobuco, and then we have a vegetarian mushroom stroganoff. Both those were featured on Food Network when we were on the show with that, and they're super popular. We've added some fried chicken, which we do with gluten-free breading, so that's sort of a little niche thing that's been pretty popular as well. So I'd say that's climbing the ranks. It's not quite as doesn't have the tenure as the other dishes, but those are really popular items.
Well, we really thank you for creating this that niche of a place of for music, live music, for a different genre, a non-bar crowd kind of live musical scene. So we really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. As a community of people trying to up our live musical performance space and encouragement.
Yeah, and it's
juju.
I mean, the whole scene's changed in the last 7-8 years, and there's a lot more music that's being performed at places like the Silver Star Cafe. But Silver Star Cafe's been knocking it out of the park for a bunch of years, so thanks.
Thank you.
So
appreciate that.
Just announce quickly what's going on this weekend.
Tonight we've got a really fun band called King Strang and the Stranglers, fairly new to the Utah scene, but the musicians, all the artists in this band are educated in music. They all have degrees in music, and they play in other configurations as well. This one is kind of old-timey jazz, think Jungle Book soundtrack, that kind of just really fun jazz. And then tomorrow night we have a touring group called Roma Ransom. They're coming from Colorado Springs, and they do gypsy folk, European folk, kind of jazz oriented.
Okay. Boy, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, Jeff really and Lisa fun. Ward from Silver Star Cafe. Check them out when you want to go see some music and have a great meal. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, appreciate it.
We're going to take a short break for a couple of underwriters. When we return, we're going to have some more live music with Mel Soul, and of course, Tiger Shaw will be here. He's the president and CEO of the U.S. Ski Team and Snowboarding Team. Stay with us.
Beth here, owner of Peak Art and Frame, longtime supporters of KPCW. At Peak Art and Frame, we carry a wide variety of framing options, and our design staff can help with any project for your home, office, or gallery. Open Monday through Saturday and located in the Walmart Shopping Center, 649-0801 or peakartandframe.com.
Hello, this is Carolyn, Executive Director at Recycle Utah. Did you know that you can recycle items that contain mercury at our center? Thermometers, thermostats, fire detectors, and fluorescent light bulbs can all be dropped off at the recycling center during business hours. Visit recycleutah.org for more info. Recycle Utah is your local nonprofit recycling drop-off center, bringing water conservation ideas to you for over 25 years, and we support KPCW.
And Mel Soul is our musical guest for the hour, and she joins us again to sing another song. Mel, what are you going to sing for us now?
The song is called Please Don't Leave Me.
Please don't, and this is something that you wrote as well.
Yep.
Live on the Morning Mix, Mel Soul.
Always about you from day one. From day one, and me, I'm your girl, and I shall stay your girl forever in your eyes. But wait, it's too late for me to come back down. The world I used to know, and I no angel. I can't fix you. I can't fix you. Please don't leave me, is what I'd hear when you're desperately hating on. Please don't leave me, is what I'd know. I'm slowly dying till I'm gone. Oh, till I'm gone. Fight every evening till nine. Vice controlled you. Taste of whiskey stronger than your pride. And I saw your demons that like to push me around. And laugh in my face. Life was ruined when you decided to stay. Please don't leave me, is what I'd hear when you're desperately hating. And I'm gone, and I'm gone, and I can't take this anymore. Please don't leave me, it's what I'd hear when you're desperately hating. I know, slowly dying, dying. Please don't leave me. Please don't leave me. Please don't leave me. Please don't leave me. It's all I know, but it's not enough. Keep me hanging on.
Very nice. That is Mel Soul. She is our musical guest for the hour. And thank you, Mel. Next Thursday, February 8th, the 23rd Winter Olympic Games begin in Pyeongchang, South Korea. And alpine, free ski, freestyle, cross country, Nordic jumping, Nordic combined, snowboard, skating, bobsledding, I mean, everything. Joining us now here live in the studio is Tiger Shaw, President and CEO of the U.S. Ski and Snowboard Team. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. This is an exciting time, isn't it?
It is. It's an amazing time. These 2.5 weeks every 4 years, everybody works so hard, and it culminates in just a flash in time and some of the world's best performances.
Yeah. And you've just gotten back from Washington, D.C. So one of your big jobs is, of course, to work with senators and Congress people to get support for the Olympics. But also you have a lot of individual donors that you work with.
Exactly. You know, a lot of people don't know that we don't have any federal funding, hence some of the reasons that we go to Washington, D.C. to get to know our congressmen and congresswomen and senators. But we have an amazing foundation that is able to raise almost a third of our budget, and that more than makes up for what we might get in federal funding. It makes us completely independent and makes us unique in the world amongst all the national teams that we compete against.
So as you say that, do other countries get their funding from their
They do. Anywhere from 15 to 80% of the budget of the major nations that we compete against is federal funding.
Wow. Shows their priorities over ours.
Yeah, sure does. Hey, I want to mention to our listeners that Pyeongchang is about 16 hours ahead of Park City. NBC will be broadcasting the games on TV and also online. And there's some new events for skiing and snowboarding. Can you talk about those? Well, certainly on the skiing.
Yes. Well, the Big Air event in snowboarding is really spectacular. We've often had that event in city venues around the world, also in Fenway Park in Boston, Massachusetts. And that's spectacular. And we're hoping that the free ski version of that gets into the 22 games in Beijing, as well as the team event in Alpine. And so we're really lucky. I mean, ski and snowboard events are more than half the events in the Winter Olympic Games.
Okay, I need a little explanation. So is the team skiing, do they pass the baton? Kidding. But what? How does it work?
It's a parallel event, two men against two women, elimination style with a rounds of elimination like a tennis tournament.
Okay, and so then Big Air, how's
And Big Air is a single big slope style jump. With a single big trick that is done off of that jump. And it's often done in a stadium. And actually in Pyeongchang, they are doing that in the cross-country landing area and arena. So it's not actually at a ski or a snowboard area.
And we've seen this at the X Games or in other venues, but we've never seen it at the Olympics before.
No, it's new. And and it's a great example of our sports being brought to the masses, meaning that it's something that you can set up in a metro area and you can have tens of thousands of people watching it very easily.
Right. Now, you didn't have anything to do with Big Air coming to Fenway Park, did you?
Or did he?
Well, that was part of my team. You know, I was a component of that, of course, and Fenway Sports Group being amazing partners, and it all got sparked with a discussion one day about, hey, could we do something like this? And lo and behold, 2 years later, we did do it. It was about $1.5 million worth of scaffolding in the middle of the outfield. A lot of snowmaking that Killington helped us with and a tremendous amount of work that went into it and transformed that park into one giant jump.
Excellent.
And it's cost effective? You can recoup that in ticket sales?
Well, it's a great example. You can ticket that event. So Fenway, they're experts in that. They know exactly how many people will come to the ice hockey tournaments there, to the concerts that they hold there, and we're able to make that event work in that way financially.
I remember hearing people talking about building these jumps at the Bird's Nest in Beijing, and I was like, I don't get it. How does that work? But what a great stadium that holds, how many people? I forget,
25,000, I think, in Bird's Nest. Yeah.
I was up there sweating during the opening ceremonies of Beijing, but I'm sure in the winter it's a much more climate-controlled.
Yeah, it is. Not really.
But I kid Tiger about his involvement at Fenway Park, but Tiger is from the East Coast, Mount Snow, right?
Stowvermont.
We're Stowvermont.
In Vermont, correct.
The Snowflake Inn.
Mm-hmm.
And you went to school at Dartmouth in Hanover, New Hampshire.
I did.
And did a lot of competing, a lot of ski races yourself, not to mention two Olympics you were in.
I did. I spent 10 years on the U.S. ski team in the 80s, and it was a wonderful time. I like to say when you're an athlete, the beautiful part about that is the only focus and goal you have is to make yourself better. Life gets a lot more complicated after that point in your life, and we have amazing athletes that are focused on that and an enormous team of high-performance coaches that help them get there and become the very best in the world at what they do. And, you know, we're fortunate enough to have some of the world's greatest athletes and especially female athletes. I mean, we have some of the most dominant women in the world if you look across our alpine skiing and snowboarding, free skiing, cross country. It's just extraordinary, the athletes we have. And many of them are here from Park City.
And I wanted to talk a little bit about that, what goes on at the Center of Excellence, how you guys have taken sport competition so internally, so scientific, so to the blood oxygen level, it's not just training, it's all that other science that goes into it. Talk a little bit
exactly
about that.
Well, that was the vision of my predecessor, Bill Merolt, and he had the vision that if we bring everybody together into a training center where we can have all of the sports science, all of the high-performance coaches, all of the athletes, what we didn't realize, there'd be incredible crossover effect between a snowboarder, a free skier, an alpine skier, a ski jumper, cross-country skier. They learn from each other. They push each other. And that center has been an amazing effect on our team. I mean, you look, it's opened in 09. In 2010, we were the best in the world. We beat the Norwegians in the Olympics. We hope to do so again. But that center has proven to be a place where we can bring everybody together and really kind of generate that special sauce, that high-performance secret training and athletic performance and human physiology that we can work on and then carefully guard those secrets from the other countries around the world. Hopefully they don't learn what we're doing there. We try to learn what they're doing. It's really a high stakes game.
So there's no tours, no international tour groups coming
through? We give tours and we usually limit the number of pictures you can take. And if you're foreign, your tour is a little bit different and the information might be a little bit changed.
If you're just joining us in the Morning Mix, we're having a conversation with Tiger Shaw. He's the president and CEO of U.S. Ski and Snowboard Team. Tiger, what role has virtual reality played in preparation for the Olympics?
Well, actually, it's growing rapidly. The concrete example we have is a ski simulator, ski and ride simulator in the COE here, which is a physical side-to-side 35-foot wide piece of machinery with three electric motors in it that actually allows you to move laterally like you do when you're skiing and riding. And then coupled with that, we have videos that we've shot, 360-degree videos of the Pyeongchang courses. And so you can actually move on the simulator and watch the course at the same time. So it's both mental rehearsal and physical practice of making the gates, knowing where they are over the blind knolls, things like that. And it's been an exceptional advantage for us. And we intend to continue leveraging that with the technology partners that we've been working with and ones to come that we hope to partner with soon.
So dozens of runs versus maybe just one or two runs if you're actually there.
Exactly. Well, in any sport, repetition is the secret. And high-quality, deliberate practice as you're repeating over and over again what you do. And if we can do that in an environment indoors like that, then we can double, triple, quadruple the amount of practice that you can get versus only on the snow.
Mm. Wow. And are you heading over there soon?
I am. I head next Wednesday. I'm kind of the caboose. Most of our teams are over there now. We have 110 athletes and probably more than 60 staff, and a huge number of those athletes are from Park City. And then if you expand that radius to Salt Lake and Steamboat, the Colorado Ski and Ride Resorts, it's just tremendous about how this part of the country is represented in the Winter Games.
Makes sense. Are you marching in the – do you get to do opening ceremonies?
I'll be watching from the stands, but
All
we
right.
will have those in my staff that really do the work. They're the ones that get to march. I'll be watching.
I think that'd be pretty exciting.
Now, Pyeongchang is 80 miles east of Seoul. It's 60 miles south of the demilitarized zone. I understand that there's a train that you can take from Seoul to Pyeongchang. It only takes about 80 or 90 minutes. Is that the best way to get there?
That's right. It is the very best way to get there. It's very fast. It goes from the airport to Seoul and then to Pyeongchang County. It was built really for the Olympics. The end of it was, and it's super fast, high-speed train. So The beauty of the Olympics this time in Pyeongchang is much like here in Salt Lake City. The venues are very, very close. The furthest distance you would travel to be an outlying resort would be maybe Yangsong, which is where the downhill and the Super G and Alpine Combined is being held. Otherwise, everything is within 20 minutes, and there's probably 15 events within walking distance of each other.
Mm-hmm. How long has NBC been there getting ready for this?
Oh, boy, they start 7, 6, maybe at least 5 years out in terms of scouting, doing their setup and prep and understanding everything. They have an army of people over there now. And, I mean, they're running the Today Show from there. So it's extraordinary. And they're a great partner of ours in helping us produce events. And they are going to have everybody on deck for that.
Okay. And how's South Korea doing with this? They were a touch behind budget as they were looking at ticket sales and the price of venues and things like that. But that sort of happens to every city that hosts the Olympics in the beginning. But then as enthusiasm gets going right before the Olympics, things could change.
It tends to pick up, yeah. I will say there probably will be some volunteers in the stands to fill out the stands in some of the events. It makes it wonderful if you are there participating and watching because it won't be crowded. It'll be easy to get around. But you're right. The key events are already sold out, and they'll be fantastic. The Koreans have done an exceptional job of getting the venues ready, and they're ready for the games starting next Friday.
Yeah. I'm kind of confused on the whole Russian thing. I was under the impression that that they weren't participating, but some people have just been let back in. What's the latest on
that? Yeah, it's complex and really, frankly, incredibly messed up. But essentially, the governing bodies that govern the anti-doping processes and the IOC itself haven't really handled this as well as they could have. But the end result is that Russians are allowed to compete if they both have not been convicted of a prior crime, so to speak, and if they pass a certain amount of tests that a panel is set up to do. So they have to participate as Olympic athletes from Russia, AOR or OAR. And the ones that were just had their sentences overturned or their convictions overturned, so to speak, those Russians still have to pass that panel screening, which they probably will not. So ironically, they'll still probably not be in the Olympics. But there are many of us that are just in upheaval over this because it just hasn't been handled that well. And the Russians were colluding and cheating on a scale that has not been seen since the days of East Germany and when Russia could do it behind the Iron Curtain. And now, this time, they did it right under everybody's nose. And I think justice will be served ultimately, but perhaps not by next week.
Sure, exactly. What are you most looking forward to when you get out there?
Well, just the awe of the events and our athletes and the world's athletes. I think you're going to see performances that are just going to resonate in your mind for years to come. That always happens in the Olympics. I think many of those are going to be Americans. They're going to be our athletes. But that's the beauty of a live sports event is the outcome is unknown. I mean, the superstars may slip, an underdog may slide in there. You never know. So the uncertainty of the outcome is what makes it so exciting to be at.
And the spectacle and the pageantry of the Olympics, it's just so fun to be a part of.
It is. It's an amazing sporting event. It still has a tremendous brand. Everybody in the world wants to be an Olympian and be at the Olympics. And they are right around the corner, and we all get to watch.
23rd Winter Olympic Games. They begin February 8th. Everybody marches on the 9th. And button up, I believe, on the 25th?
That's correct.
Tiger Shaw, President and CEO of U.S. Ski and Snowboarding Team. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
And full disclosure, Tiger is a Patriots fan.
Unabashed.
Oh, boy. Are you looking forward to the game Sunday?
I am. I know this isn't exactly New England where I'm sitting right now,
yeah.
But there are those amongst us who care a lot about the Patriots.
There's a couple of us left. All right. We'll return right after this. You're listening to The Morning Mix on KPCW Park City. And Mel Soul will play a final song for us when we get back.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided in part by Long Reimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, LRW-law.com. Fred Marshall Painting Park City's home since 1974, fredmarshallpainting.com, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
And we are back. It's the Morning Mix on KPCW in Park City.
We want to thank our sponsors today, Campus Coffee, Squatters Roadhouse Grill, and Wasatch Brew Pub, Crandall Capital, Utah Symphony and Utah Opera, Peak Art and Frame, San Francisco Design, Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties, and Park City Mountain. We're going to return with Mel Soul, one final song. What would you like to play for us, Mel?
It's a song I co-wrote. It's called Hurt People.
Live on the Morning Mix, Mel Soul.
First day school, second grade, a boy named Johnny kept calling me names. While the teacher was looking, kicking my seat, throwing stuff at me, and I guess I didn't know it then. Now I see why they told me. Hurt people Why are you so mad at me? But I guess his daddy was that way too. And I guess her